Well, let us turn to Ephesians again. And today, we'll try to finish verse 6. And next time when we gather, let's begin the second section of this long section, verse 3 through 14. So let's read from verse 4 and all the way to 6, and let's continue our study. This is word of God. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, they will be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. We've been looking at this section from verse 3 to 6. It's mostly talking about what our Father, you know, God the Father has done for our salvation. As we have noted that when Paul is speaking of our salvation, the first thing that he says to us is that there is something that God has done even before the creation. And our salvation is the result of that, what God has done even before the foundation of the universe. Thus, we cannot start from ourselves. So many times that's what we hear Christians speaking of their own salvations, and they start from themselves. It is about what they have done. But that is not how Paul does. We must start from God. And Paul is telling us that God had a plan of salvation. And now our mighty God accomplishes that plan. And He accomplishes it through His own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, our salvation is God's plan. And it is ours to possess even today through the sovereign acts of God. Verse 4 tells us that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us, but there was a purpose for that choosing. For what did He choose us? That we will be blameless and holy before Him. Verse 5 says He predestined us according to the kind intention of His will. But even that predestinating, that had purpose. For what did He predestine us? It says, to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. He chose us, He predestined us. And this holy and eternal plan of God will come true no matter what happens in this world. Actually, all things happen in this world so that that purpose would come true. We are the witnesses of that reality. Aren't we? As we live as God's sons in this world, we witness that that plan that God had before the foundation of the universe is reality. It came true. And we witness that it was God who accomplished it. So you are the witnesses of all these truths. All the history is coming to pass for this purpose. Now, the world will never see history in terms of that. But you and I, we see history in terms of this plan that God had. Many times we might not see the connection, but At the end, we will know that everything happened for that purpose, so that His people, those people that He chose and predestined, that they will become His sons, and that He and those sons will live forever and ever. You will see at the end that everything happened for that purpose. Yeah. Sometimes you might say, you know, like all these wars and all these things that is happening in this world, why? You ask why? I could tell you it's so that His purpose will be accomplished. We're ignorant, so that we might not see, like I said before, the connection. But you have to see it. Thus, we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but we know the end. And we are very certain of it. Very, very certain. And one day we will stand before God as a holy and blameless sons of God, because He chose us for that purpose and He predestined us for that purpose. Now He's choosing and He's predestinating. I don't know, you know, these God choosing and His predestination, these are not popular topic these days. But for you and me, you know, there's nothing that gives us joy and assurance apart from this. Gives us so much joy and assurance and certainty. Even a sinner like me, even I am able to have assurance, because the Bible tells me that it is not up to me, that my salvation is the result of God's work. And not just, you know, looking at myself, but even those that I might think that they will never make it. You know, I'm looking at their lives and going, you know, shaking my head and going, man, I don't know. But I am able to have assurance even for those people. If God has chosen them, if God is working in them, then they will be like Christ. Because God chose for that purpose. God is working for that purpose. And I know God is almighty. He's all powerful. He is able. That's why I could even have assurance for those people that in human terms have no hope whatsoever. But we cannot give up on them. That's why, you know, whoever become members of this church, they have become members of this church through their confession. Meaning that they said to the whole church that they believe in Jesus Christ. Long as they hold on to that confession, we cannot give up on those people. No matter how, you know, they make it so difficult for us to continue to have hope. But you cannot give up on them. Because if God has chosen, if God has predestined, then it has to come true. That's why He's God. He's able. He's almighty. And this gives us so much joy. Even as we live this life of church, you know, sometimes you look at the other member and going, man, you know, what's wrong with that person? And, you know, he or she just fails again and again and again. And you really see how, you know, how many times that person failed. But As long as they continue to confess Jesus Christ, you cannot give up on them. And you should never give up on yourself as long as your confession, you know it to be genuine. I'm not saying your faith is perfect. Nobody has a perfect faith. But you know that whatever the faith that you are, you know, professing, it is genuine. You believe that Jesus is God, that He died for you, for your sins. Because this, notice here that choosing and predestinating is in Christ and through Christ. If you read verse 4 and 5, that's what it says. He chose us in Him. He predestined us in Christ, through Christ. That is why we know that His plan will be accomplished perfectly. It is in Christ and through Christ. If His choosing was just choosing in ourselves, and we need to accomplish it, then there's a problem. But here it is choosing and predestinating in Christ and through Christ. It is through Christ. And that is what Christianity is all about. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, you know, when you hear the word Christianity and you go, okay, in Christ, through Christ. Now we come to verse 6. He tells us all that we've been talking about so far. All that is for one purpose. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So what is the purpose? It is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Simply put, it is for His glory. Now, I told you that from verse 4 through 6, it is telling us what the Father has done. And it ends in verse 6, and it says that He has done all that for His own glory. And from verse 7 all the way to verse 12, it will tell us what Christ has done for us, but the purpose is the same, to the praise of His glory. If you read the end of that verse, verse 12, it says all that is to the praise of His glory. And the verse 13 and 14 talks about what the Holy Spirit does. And if you look at the end of verse 14, it says to the praise of His glory. So understand, even God has done all that for His own glory. That is the purpose. So, everything that you do is for the same purpose. It's for His glory. Now, this is very, very important. Because I believe that so many people live their lives in this world and they're not happy because they just don't know the purpose. You know, this question, why do I live? For what reason? For what purpose? Now, for Christians, it is very, very clear. It is for the glory of God. I don't care what you do, where you are, it's all for the glory of God. And if we lose this, if we forget, then no matter what you accomplish in this world, it's going to be empty at the end. It really doesn't matter. look at people out there. They might be accomplishing all kinds of things out there, but their life is very empty. Because unless you find yourself in God, there's no true joy. Because that's not how God made everything. See, He made everything and He's running everything so that if you don't find yourself in God, if you don't find your purpose in God's purpose, you will never be satisfied. That's just how God has made everything to be. It is for His glory. And let me ask you, in what does the glory of God shine the most? What do you think? You know, we always talk about how, you know, I'm going to do this so that through it, I'm going to glorify God. You know, you hear a lot of that, right? You say you do this to glorify God. You know, somebody will say, I'm going to go to Harvard to glorify God. I'm going to be a doctor to glorify God. You know, all this, I'm going to, you know, even succeed in business to glorify God. Now tell me, how can you glorify God in those things? Really think about this. Let's say going to Harvard. If going to Harvard is glorifying God, and you go to Harvard and you see more non-Christians there, then those non-Christians who went to Harvard, are they glorifying God? Or are they glorifying Satan? If you want to, you know, speak in similar terms. Now you tell me, why is going to Harvard glorifying God? I don't get it, because those non-Christians, they go to Harvard, but we don't say they went to Harvard for glorifying God, or just the fact that they're there is glorifying God. Can we glorify God in those terms? Well, we could. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, without you really, you know, not comparing to other people or whatever, but you have this goal to study and you want to learn, and whatever that you're trying to learn, that Harvard is the place to learn, so that you want to go there for, you know, there's bigger purpose that you have, and then you say, oh, all this is for glory of God, then okay, you know, I have no problem with that. But just because you went to Harvard, why is that necessarily glorifying God? Even non-Christians, they do it better. You know, if you want to compare, if you want to glorify God, or you want to, you know, show the greatness of Christianity, if you want to do all this in terms of the world, in worldly things, you will always lose, because non-Christians, they do better. Give me any subject, anything, I'll show you. If you show me in worldly terms, great Christian, I will show you a non-Christian who is greater than that person in the same field. Don't you believe me? Seriously, if we want to show the power and greatness of Christianity in terms of this world, if we want to do that, then we'll always lose. Guaranteed. Because I will show you a non-Christian who does it better than that person. In any field. Yeah? Of course. So why do we even bother to show our greatness, our religion's greatness in terms of this world when only thing we could do is always second best? Because that is not how we are to do it. Again, in what does the glory of God shine the most? The answer is in our salvation. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, how it is utterly impossible for a sinner like us to be saved? Do you know what kind of power is needed for you and me, sinners like us, to be saved? Do you understand? If we want to talk about what is needed for my salvation in terms of money or terms of power of this world, do you know how much? It is utterly impossible for any of us to be saved. You study every second of your life. You might go to Harvard, but you will not save yourself. You might succeed in business and you may own the whole world, but you will not be able to save yourself. You might be the best in whatever you do in the whole world, but even with that, you cannot save yourself. Do you understand how utterly impossible for any of us to be saved? But we believe we're saved. Now, there is power of God. There's His ability clearly shown in saving you and in saving me. Just the fact that a sinner like me genuinely, not perfectly, but genuinely loving God and wants to obey Him, that is the most amazing miracle. Do you understand? Do you understand? That is the most amazing miracle. Sinner like me now loving God. What could make me do that? What kind of power do you think is needed to make a sinner do that? To love God. There's power. There's the ability. If you want to really talk about the power, the greatness, just show yourself as a saved person and you show the power, the glory of God. Oh, of course, the world will not acknowledge it. They're not going to accept that. But it really doesn't matter what the world says. Boy, you know, whenever you listen to God's word and you find yourself you know, of course not perfectly, but just a little bit, but genuine, that you like hearing His word, and you just a little bit, you want to obey. And whenever that happens, brothers and sisters, I want you to realize what kind of power has come upon you. Because nothing in this world will make a sinner do that. You know, when you're worshiping God, of course, again, not perfectly, but even if it's just a little bit, just you really want to praise Him. And that He really matters to you. Just a little bit. That you know you love Him. Do you understand what kind of power it is needed to make you do that? Because sinners, literally, even if they die, they will not do it. They will never do that. The glory of God shines most brightly in you, in your salvation. You and I, we are the witnesses of that glory, its beauty, its might, its perfection, its eternalness, its worthiness, its power, all shine most brightly in our salvation. The power of God makes sinners like us His blameless and holy sons. That power has come upon you. Really, really think about it, guys. When we consider how sinful we are, you know, that is the problem. So many people don't really, truly realize how sinful they are. They think they're, okay. I mean, they will never say, I'm perfect. But they say, I'm okay. Because they know that they will say things like, oh, there are plenty of people who are worse than me. But when you look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know how sinful you are. The sinfulness of sinner is capable of doing just that, what we can see on the cross. We even kill our own God. That's how sinful we are. We'll do it. We did it. We kill God. If it is up to us. And think about this. From that to this, you who now love God, what changed? What kind of power was needed to change you like that? And that's what we're talking about. Just the fact that you are saved. You are His sons. The glory of God shines so brightly. See, you are, you don't even understand. And that's why, you know, whenever, you know, I talk with Peter, you know, about this, we need to wear sunglasses when we're meeting each other. Because we're just, glory just too bright. And that's the fact. That is the reality. We're not making things up here. And that is the purpose of it all. Can you just see it? Can you see it? When Jesus returns, you and I will all stand in that glorious place with Christ. And you know how glorious you will be? And just by existing in that terms, in that context, you glorify God. To His ultimate level. And all God has to do is look at my sons. That is the same thing as my glory. See, that's who you are. That's the purpose of your life. To show the glory, the shining the glory of God, and you will. Not for just limited time, not for just limited, you know, level, but the ultimate level forever and ever. You and me, we will be the witnesses of that glory forever. And God is calling us to live that life even now. Even as you live your life in this world, that is the life that He wants you to live, because it is your life. It is your reality. Second Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, the same God that who created the whole universe. When you go to Genesis 1, you will hear Him say, let there be light. That same God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You see the glory, and you are the glory because of what Christ has accomplished. Glory shines. And of course, our purpose here, our goal is to shine that glory in what we do, in what we say, and what we think. But even if you fail to do that, that glory still shines. And even if you fail many, many times, ultimately, you will shine that glory perfectly. All right. Who calls me at 7:45? Everybody that I know knows that I'm doing Bible study. Anyway. Yeah, even the first creation, you know, Psalm 19 verse 1 says that even the, this creation, this physical creation, glory, you know, glory of God shines through it. How much more through the new creation? You. And it's, you know, if you look at the redemptive history, you know, crossing the Red Sea, 10 plagues pouring down upon Egypt, you know, all these events, what was the whole purpose? It's to show the glory of God. And it's redemptive history. So all those events are somehow all connected to our salvation. And all those events, redemptive historical events, those things happen to reveal the glory of God. And everything just come together in Jesus Christ, who accomplishes our salvation. And because our union with Him all comes center around Jesus and you. Through you, the glory of God shines the most. And whether you realize it or not, it continues to shine. And ultimately, you will see how bright it is. With your own eyes, you will see. See, this is the problem. You know, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's talking about the content of gospel. Things into which angels long to look. Can you picture this? Jesus Christ, what He is doing? You know, angels know who He is. And there's so many angels looking, you know, I'm just drawing a picture for you, looking down. And they're just so amazed because their God is suffering. And their God is dying on the cross. For what? For those sinners. For us. So they're just, they cannot believe what they're seeing. So they long to look into these things. What's going on? What is happening? This amazing thing that I'm looking at. And yet, Christians, when you hear the gospel, you're not even excited. Doesn't excite you. It just, man, there's something wrong with this. Something wrong with this picture, right? I mean, angels, man, even they cannot believe this gospel because it's so amazing. They long to look into these things. They want to find out what this thing is all about because it just doesn't make any sense to them. God dying for sinners. God suffering for sinners. The gospel, does it excite you when you hear it? Your God, the Creator God, loves you so much that He even gives you his life. And the purpose of it all is so that he could be with you, to live with you forever and ever, to love you and to be loved by you. That is the purpose. He chose, he predestined all of us that we might be holy and blameless sons. His sons, so that we could have that intimate relationship with him. This is maybe just this gospel that we believe is just, maybe it's just too much, that we're just kind of insensitive because it's just too much, maybe. Gospel is such that, you know, just by just realizing this gospel, it is enough to make you so excited and so happy for all, whole of your life. Not just today, but tomorrow and forever and ever. This is enough to make you so happy. And if it doesn't excite you as it should, then you need to ask God to pour down upon you grace. It says, you lack wisdom, ask so that you will receive. You know, even, you know, there are many college students here, so, well, not many. Just pretend that we have many college students. Okay. Anyway, you know, I mean, if you see you're not doing well in your class, you're gonna do something about it. If you know you're a basketball player, if your skills are not that great, you're gonna do something about it. I mean, even in your job, if you sense there's some problem, it concerns you and you do something about it. How about your spiritual life, brothers and sisters? Do you see any problems in your spiritual life? What do you do about those? Or it just doesn't matter? I'm sure it matters to you, because you're Christians. We gotta have that urgency. Because without his word, and if we are not fulfilling that purpose that God has for us, which is to love him, which is to worship him, which is to serve him for his glory, let's help one another. Let's truly help one another so that his will be accomplished in our church, in our lives. Brothers and sisters, you matter to me. Not as some object of someone who could give me more money or whatever, but you matter to me because of Christ. And my desire for you is that his will, which is to glorifying himself, that will be done in your lives. And I pray that your desire for me is the same. Let's really, really help one another, encourage one another, so that we may together fulfill this in our church. And the first step is that you get really serious about His Word. Study it, meditate, memorize, read, hear it. This is the first step, and this is the only step. This is the only way. Let's show our excitement about His Word to our friends, to our, you know, church members who are not here, so that they, just like these angels, they look into what's going on, what's going on, so that maybe they could do that. What is going on every Thursday Bible study? Well, what, you know, not really, but the Word of God is being taught. It's not about, you know, how fun this class is or this Bible study is. It's about the Word is being taught. And if we go back to our passage, it says that to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That Beloved is Jesus Christ. That amazing fact is just so amazing to us, because the Son that He has sent to die for you and me, that Son, God the Father, really loves. That's why it is so amazing. It's not like God the Father did not like His Son, that He didn't care whether He goes down and suffer and die. No, He loved Him. And yet He still sent Him, because of His love for you. It is in Him. And it is amazing, you know, when Jesus was being baptized, the people there could hear the voice of God the Father from heaven. This is My beloved Son. At the Mount Transfiguration, same thing. People there heard God's voice from heaven. This is My beloved Son. Understand, brothers and sisters, that God the Father sent that Son, that whom He loves so much. And this Son, His life was what? It was all about the glory of the Father. He said so Himself in John chapter 17, where He prays to God the Father. You could clearly see His whole focus was to glorify His own Father. John describes Jesus. You know, when we see Jesus, we see the glory of only begotten Son of God. The Father, the Son, they love you and me. Now, if you really understand how much He loves you, what He was willing to go through for you, I don't know, maybe, wow, time is, they're giving a signal, right? Now, if you, what do you think it meant for Jesus, who is sinless, to be born in this sinful world and live in this sinful world. What do you think it meant? I mean, I don't know what kind of example we could give, but I don't know. Whenever I think about this, I see it like fish. You take that fish out of water and throw him on the sand and just watch what that fish do. I think it's worse than that kind of environment for sinless person to live in a sinful world. Why? Because he loves you. He wants to save you out of that sinful world. Anyway, I'll stop here. We'll continue where we stop here, but we'll continue next time because they're giving us a signal that it's time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. By sending your Son, you have manifested to us your love for us. And we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He clearly shown us how much he loved us by dying on that cross, living that suffering life for us. Oh Father, even all the acts of you, they are for your own glory. All is for your glory. And let us always remember, what is the purpose? We live for your glory. And we are your glory because of what your Son has accomplished for us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.